This is a HeadGum Podcast.
In 86, Anna Martin wrote the first book of what became a cult. Now it's time for Babysitter's Club.
All right, friends, we're here.
What's not embarrassing? I'm sorry.
We're here. We're going to try
to
keep it.
Guys, can we avoid crosstalk, please?
Yes. Let's keep the crosstalk out of it. I want to keep
get
this.
These sex chats off my window.
Rated G. I think, can we agree on that?
Okay.
No.
I don't want this to get hot or horny in any
Should
way.
Should I change my name on Squadcast?
From King of All Sex, Tanner Greenring?
Yeah.
I like that Jack's name is just his email in case we need to get in touch.
Yeah. That's even sexier, some might think.
Can I hide my own face? I'm just going to stare at myself. It's bad.
I want to keep this rated G,
nope.
If possible. So no sex talk, because this was, we have all read a hot and horny novel, and I should introduce our guest, Jamie Greenwood.
Do you guys not introduce the show anymore?
I would like to introduce you first and then the show.
Oh.
That's my level of priority.
We're going to introduce you. We're going to give you
give you
Baby
some space.
Nation your boner fides.
Okay. All right.
How long ago
that.
Did you think up that one?
Just now, baby.
Jamie Greenring is the professor emeritus of romance and romanticity in the Greenring household.
You fuck books?
And
no, they're called fucking books.
I'm doing the intro. And... Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, sometimes writes actually about romance in a professional capacity, and that has happened as well. So
has done.
We've really
You're the former
yeah.
romance literary reviewer of the New York Times. But
the great lady.
It is like the office of the president in that that's a title that stays with you forever. You are
yes
the...
And
romance
you can't be, this is actually, there's some constitutional disagreement on this, but you can't be sent to jail for sex crimes while you're the romance reviewer.
Yeah.
And I'm always the romance reviewer.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. The podcast is called The Babysitter's Club Club. It's me, that's Jack is my name.
It's called The Babysitter's Club Club Presents.
Presents. And your name?
Tanner.
And what we do is talk
Green
about
ring.
Iconic instances of babysitting.
Are we going to introduce our guest? Ask her name?
I Here just did.
Okay. What's your name?
You're trying to set me up, aren't you?
What do you mean?
So I have two names.
What's your name, professional
Yeah, I'm looking
well,
at this.
As a professional romance reviewer, my name is Jamie Green.
Okay.
Okay. Never heard of her.
So Jamie Green, can you weigh in on the scene in Die Hard where... John McClane runs into Holly McClane in Nakatomi Plaza, and she says, "I missed you, John." And he says, "I guess you didn't miss the name."
Yeah.
What?
Because she changed, because she kept her maiden
name.
She went back to her maiden name.
Yeah. You weigh in on that?
Can you weigh in on that?
Well, yeah. I started my writing career before Tanner and I got married.
Okay.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I thought it was a weird choice on your part. But, you know, strike against patriarchy.
I will say, it does lead to a lot of issues. I was looking for a job last summer, and someone who I was interviewing with asked, "Why can't I find any record of you prior to 2015? And I was like, "Oh, it's because I had a different last name back then."
We read a novel this week, and it's a babysitting novel. It's a classic babysitting novel. It was recommended to us by Jamie in her capacity as Professor Emeritus of Romance in the Greenring household. And...
For now.
I do have to say, I did get the idea from someone in Baby Nation.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that she specifically said they should do an episode on it, but she mentioned the book.
Okay.
Maybe in the context of some things that we will discuss.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I should make the guys do an episode on it. And then I did.
And
then
now,
I said,
here we are.
I should be on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
The novel is called The Governess Game.
Yes.
Yes, by Tessa Dare.
It kind of ruled.
Yes.
Kind of rules, huh?
Yeah.
I've been texting you, Jack, I've been texting you all week. You're a quick reader.
Ish. It took me 5 hours to read this one.
You're someone who reads quickly and waits till the last second to read something. I'm a slow reader.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, didn't even read this at all. Listen to it.
So that's cheating.
I started last weekend and absolutely love this silly little novel and have been texting you for 4 days straight being like, have you started the book yet?
Yeah.
And every day you've been like, not yet, but I'm very excited to do so. And I'm really thrilled to hear that you had fun with it. What a romping good time this book is.
It's a romping good time. It's
so got
fun.
It's got so much fun stuff happening. There's babysitting. There's doll funerals. There's hand jobs.
Mm-hmm. And we'll try to keep it rated G. So
no,
I mean when they hold hands at the doll
funeral. Oh yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's the also hand. Like the graphic sex scenes.
What do you mean by that?
Do you want me to find it in my notes?
The sex scenes.
Yeah.
I didn't read any. I don't think I remember.
Yeah, I didn't see any sex scenes. We should describe the novel, I think.
Yeah. All
right. I think Jamie should describe the novel, don't you think, Tanner?
She just asked earlier tonight. She was like, am I going to be expected to describe the novel? I said, I don't think so. I think it's Jack's turn.
I think it's Jamie's turn. I think it's guest privilege.
Should I just read the review I wrote of this novel for the New York Times?
Oh, you wrote a review?
Yeah, wow. I did.
Are you allowed to do that?
That is both cheating and a big flex.
Yeah, I would love to hear the New York Times review
the
of
official,
this novel.
What is the gray lady's position on this sex romp?
Let me find
it. I would love
to
hear what the gray lady's position on hand jobs is. I've always wondered.
I once had an amazing Twitter... Twitter back and forth with my editor at the Times about whether or not I was allowed to say finger blasting. I was
there's a Twitter bot that's like New York Times first appearance,
which
of
I
words.
Never
if you
I
could
never
have got
finger
blasting into that that would be legendary.
I would have been so proud. I never triggered that bot and I was so sad.
It'll turn out it was David Brooks like 5 years ago. Tanner, that's a New York Times joke. Don't worry about it.
So sophisticated. Jamie, please
All right.
Regale us.
So this is from September 20th, 2018.
Okay.
Never forget.
Oh, this is embarrassing. I hope I like this. All right, you guys ready?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Can I actually... So I'm looking at the review. This was the first... review in the column. Can I read the little intro paragraph too? Because I think it sets up the...
Read the whole damn column.
It's your
show,
Jamie.
I'm not going
to
read the whole column. But I think
show,
especially...
Baby.
We're just passengers.
Especially since you guys are new to the romance novel genre, I feel like it sets up the bigger scene.
There's so much sex in it.
So much sex.
I know.
And it'll just like... It'll come out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. They'll be like making pancakes and then they're finger blasting each other. It's like
the Royal Observatory in Greenwich and all of a sudden it's like, and then he finger blasts.
I'm sorry, what about in the Tower of London?
There's a part in this movie where they finger blast each other in the Tower of London and I had to go back and be like, wait, are they still in the Tower of London? Like on a fucking tour? I was like, yeah, no, I didn't miss that. They're just finger blasting each other in the fucking Tower of London. The tour guide is like right in front of them. Wow.
You know, those tour guides are like all ex-military.
Okay, well, they're used to it.
Okay, let me read my review. You ready?
Yes. I don't know what that meant. I'm not making a comment about the military. I don't know
I
what it's like.
I was confused about it.
All right.
It made sense to me in a weird way.
I just meant that, like, you know, if you're military, you're like buttoned
up.
You're used to like a crisis. And so if someone's suddenly finger blasting, like that's not as bad as like a fucking bomb going off.
IED
or whatever.
Going off.
Yeah. And so you're like,
there
you're,
was another
you, like,
kind of
cool.
explosion.
Okay. There we go.
Okay.
All right. Let's hear it. I'll put some classical music on because it's the gray lady.
She means come.
It's classy. Yes. I did mean that. All right. Every romance novel is a kind of fantasy, whether it features an impossibly wealthy duke or a cute guy who knows how to talk about his feelings. It can be escapist or aspirational, extravagantly hyperbolic.
That's us,
or,
Jack.
That's us.
Or easily plausible, but it's still idealized. Every romance has a happy ending, after all. That's a narrative constraint and a defining characteristic of the genre. It's also a puzzle for an author to solve. Make your main characters too good or too perfect, and obstacles to their happy ending seem far-fetched. Make them too flawed, and maybe they don't deserve a happy ending. Here are five new romances that grapple with their protagonist's shortcomings and virtues, their worthiness of a happy ending, or at least leave their readers doing so after the final page.
I think and when you say happy ending, what do you mean in you that mean context?
I don't mean hand jobs. I mean that they live happily ever after, or like
with no. You know,
that's a term of art in the massage community, Jamie, where you will get a gentleman will get a massage, and then the happy ending is like, then the masseuse will massage their ding dong.
Yeah. I was using terms of art from the romance genre, okay, which are happily ever after or happily for
you
now.
Should.
So
it feels loaded. It felt deliberate.
It felt loaded.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll let you go.
Can I read the...
Mm-hmm. Please.
Tessa Dare's The Governess Game hinges on a classic obstacle to a happy ending. The hero who thinks himself unworthy... Should I just start over? Because you were talking during my thing.
Yeah, I would.
Welcome to my life, Jamie. Welcome to my fucking
life. I wish
life.
I could mute you guys like it was a song on the Patreon. All right. Hinges on a classic obstacle to a happy ending in the narrative sense, not the sense. The hero who thinks himself unworthy of love. Like many romance heroes, Chase Reno, the future Duke of Belvoir, has cultivated the trauma of a youthful mistake into a grand unified theory of self-loathing. He has sworn off marriage and he's desperate to protect his two young wards, orphaned sisters, from his spiritual corruption. If only the girls would stop driving off their governesses. Enter Miss Alex Mountbatten, clock setter and amateur astronomer who, through a series of miscommunications, is offered and accepts the job. Dare deftly navigates the entanglement between employer and employee. Besides, the real power in the household belongs not to Chase, but to his obstinate wards, and he and Alex quickly become partners in their care. While the logic of Chase's reluctance to love falls apart on close inspection, it gives Alex cause to take the lead. She is sharp and smart and funny. The whole book is, actually. Quote, when he spoke, his voice was so perilously deep, it needed a fence and a warning signpost. End quote. I like that one. And the younger of Chase's wards has an exquisitely droll fixation on convening funerals for her doll, a gambit with surprising emotional payoff. But the childcare and comet hunting never detract from the love story, instead giving it a vivid world in which to flourish. Alex and Chase are playful, intense, and stubborn. Their flaws make them a magical match, not perfect, but perfect for each other.
Beautiful.
That's good. And that's trademark New York Times 2018.
Yeah.
18?
Yes.
Yeah.
We have no all rights reserved. We have no claim on that content whatsoever.
Pay Dean Becquet royalties for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jack, I want to introduce a segment.
Okay, let's do that now. That sounds great.
Based on something Jamie said in her recap of mm-hmm. the film, which is radio novel, which mm-hmm. is you're British.
Yes.
It's called United Kingdom check?
You didn't think this through before you announced it.
That doesn't sound well planned.
The United Kingdom check.
Okay.
It's like Connecticut check.
Yeah, UK check.
UK check, yeah. United
What about them? You no. okay?
You that's good. Yeah. You okay, England?
Yeah, okay.
You, letter yeah. U.
Okay?
Okay.
What yeah. about you okay, UK?
You okay, UK? Yeah.
Okay.
Belvoir.
Okay.
How do we say that word that Jamie was not prepared to say out loud?
Belvoir.
And is it a thing?
Belvoir.
Is that a place in England?
I don't know. He's like the Duke of something.
You're British!
All the dukedoms, and they're just all made up. There's probably not a real Duke of Belvoir.
Yeah. I would say Belvoir or Belvoir. Belvoir.
Well, that's the thing with all the Frenchy sounding words in England is you say them extra not Frenchy.
Right.
So like one of the titles that comes up a lot in romance is, it's so hard to say with an American accent, Marquess.
Yes.
Which looks like it's pronounced Marquess.
No, exactly.
But it's Marquess because they just like lean real against it.
My wonderful dear grandmother, God rest her soul, insisted on saying savory flan instead of quiche. Because she didn't want to say a French word.
Yeah.
She didn't want to give them the fucking satisfaction.
It's like freedom fries.
Freedom fries, yeah. So Belvoir.
Yeah.
The Duke of Rutland is a title in the peerage of England named for Rutland, a county in the East Midlands of England. Yeah. Earldoms named after Rutland have been created three times.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, 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 blah.
The seat of the Duke of Rutland is Belvoir Castle.
Okay, okay. There you go.
So but it's different, but so, that's fine. Yeah. It's not
it is a real
thing.
Like Leicestershire. England.
Perfect. You fucking weirdly nailed it in one. let's meet this cast here. We have got a thirsty governess who's afraid to swim.
Yeah.
She is thirsty.
She's so
because
thirsty.
Because of past trauma.
She's thirsty for water and she's thirsty for man.
Literally.
Flesh.
She wasn't lost at sea. She was in the. This is. She wakes up
meat
after.
On the menu, boys. That's what the orcs. That's what the orcs say.
That's what the orcs say. Thank you so much for clarifying that. She wakes up after a nightmare. She wasn't lost at sea. She was in the Reno residence, and she was a governess, an underqualified, ill-prepared, and thus far unsuccessful governess, but a governess nonetheless. When she swallowed, her tongue rasped against the roof of her mouth. She was also a thirsty governess.
Jack, that's not the sexy part.
Powerful.
Why are you reading it like it's the sexy part?
Because she's a thirsty governess. It's so on the nose. She's so thirsty throughout this entire movie. She like can't fucking stop being thirsty throughout this film.
Thirsty is a term of
art. It's what the teens say. Maybe not in the New York Times.
Yeah. It means that you're horny.
It's not what Maureen Dowd says. Tanner, that's another New York Times joke.
I'm glad you're here to bridge the gap, Jack, between me and my wife.
But she also, like, she was raised on a ship.
Oh, did we say that at the top of the app?
I don't know. What?
It doesn't define you, Jamie, by any means, but you and I are married.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We should disclose
that. I realize that's
that.
Confusing because...
And have been for some time. And
only one of
together.
My last names. Only one of my last names is the same as yours.
Right, the one you use less often.
Well, I guess you didn't miss the name, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
The one you don't use professionally.
Right.
Yeah.
So we've got
remember,
the thirsty governess.
Because when we got married, we talked about that and you said it was going to be fine.
I don't want to be part of this.
Did I?
And she's afraid to swim. And then we've got the bookshop rake.
Yes.
Yes. So handsome.
He's got ruffled brown hair, fashionable attire, cologne that smells like bottled sin, and a smile no doubt honed from boyhood as a means to make women forgive him anything. And his thing is, and this is so sad and so tragic and so sad, he because he did a bad babysitting job in a few years ago, he can only... give women oral pleasure.
Right, or hand pleasure.
That's how that works. It's punishment.
Really so sad, but he can't do it all the way.
Right, and he won't do it all the way because he doesn't want to have... He doesn't sire any bastards, is what he says.
Yeah. Can I read the passage?
And because of some trauma. Yeah,
it's a little bit sexy.
Passage.
So we can bleep it if we need to. She didn't understand. His name is Chase. Chase didn't doubt his capacity to love. Rosamond and Daisy, these are the kids, had captured his heart within hours of entering his life. The problem was, he couldn't imagine ever ceasing to despise himself, and that was his downfall again and again. Self-loathing was what drove him to the distraction of a woman's embrace. Not boredom, not lust. Concentrating on a woman's pleasure was the only way he could forget his shame.
It feels... very, I don't, this is the first romance novel I've ever read in my life.
I loved it.
But it feels very romance novel that Chase, Lord Chase Renaud's,
yeah.
Renaud's.
Yeah, sure.
Sole fascination in this earth is giving,
giving women pleasure.
Women pleasure.
That's the only thing you can do. And but it's not from like a weird, like pervert place. It's from a like, place of like
vulnerable
shame that he's not
place.
A good enough man.
Yeah.
I love it. but they're so ill matched because she's afraid to swim, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, income.
Which yeah.
Jack, I think we have a segment for this.
Yes.
I think I have to invite Karrison.
Okay. All right. There's already a lot of us. Where is she in your home?
Karis? Can you come in here and do the song about Hodges?
Perfect. Yeah, let's talk about Hodges. Oh, there. Hey, yeah. Karis. It's good to see you.
Karis, thank you.
Hey, Karis.
Please do the song.
Don't wake up the baby.
Don't wake up the babies. either of them.
If heaven and hell decide to pick the John Stoney book, and you don't depict the scene on the page of the book, if there's no one beside you and your soul involved, I will swallow you into the dark.
So, thank you, Karis. I don't know who did the cover art for this book, but I'm going to put the blame squarely on Hodges.
I think it was Hodges. I have a Hodges section too, so.
Yeah.
It must be Hodges.
I want to talk about the cover of this
yeah.
radio novel.
Mm-hmm.
It features a hunk.
There's a hunky man.
Hunky man, sexy babe.
Yeah.
It says Tessa Dare, which is the author's name at the top
mm-hmm.
of the cover. And then it says The Governess Game, which is the name of the book. And then Girl Meets Duke, which is kind of the subheading.
Mm-hmm.
I've got two quotes here. USA Today best-selling author.
Yep.
And then Prepare to Fall in Love,
Someone
Julia
called
Quinn
Julia
says.
Quinn says Prepare to Fall in Love, which is a little bit yeah. threatening. And I don't know who
that
is.
And then we've
is.
Got these two people who are clearly from the year 2020.
Mm-hmm.
A man with a 2020 haircut.
Yep.
And a lady with a 2020 haircut. And I don't know who these people are, but it's certainly not who I pictured.
No,
as Chase Renaud and
Tessa Dare,
Alex Mountain Bottom.
They're trying to rub noses,
and they're trying to rub noses.
Yeah,
I don't, Jamie. You can tell us if this is par for the course on romance novels, but this is not who I pictured as I was reading this book, and. I'll tell you who I pictured as I was reading this book, and I'm curious to hear what you guys think, too. But mm-hmm. I pictured Colin Firth, which I imagine I'm going to picture for 99% of the gentlemen in any of the romance novels I ever read.
Mm-hmm.
And I pictured the lady from the bad seasons of Doctor Who, where Matt Smith died and then the old man took over.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Wait, you're
who?
Right for the second one.
Oh, no. I pictured Jupiter Ascending in that 70s show.
That's that's close,
sure.
too.
Little dark hair, big eyes.
We've all got the girl, right?
Clara Oswald, Jenna Coleman.
Jenna Coleman yeah. is right.
Yeah.
Who's the guy in the later Alien movies, like Prometheus, who's a robot?
Oh.
Michael Fassbender?
Yeah, that's
Fassbender.
Who it is.
Oh, is he the one who's the robot? I was guessing.
I think so, yeah.
It is. No, it's there, Colin
there
Firth.
There was like maybe 20 pages in the middle where I was picturing Greg Davies, and that was disturbing.
Okay. Right. You and I have been watching a lot of Greg Davies' TV show.
Taskmaster. He's very Taskmaster. Tall and big.
He's like 8
and
foot.
And he can be mean. I know, okay. but so are romance heroes. They're always like 8 feet tall.
They do
one
say
romance.
That she keeps like ending up like fucking like Frenching with his belly button by accident because she's like half his size.
There's another romance novel I really love where the heroes are very often like, they feel out of place or they're sad or they hate themselves for some reason. And this guy, he's Scottish. And the reason he like doesn't fit into society is because he's too big and muscular. Like he can't find pants that fit his muscular thighs. And like that's
right,
his great shame.
That's, and that feels familiar to me. That's
that
my great
right.
shame too.
Yeah, it's you and Greg Davies.
Chase Renaud is yep. described as having a thick hog. Big hog.
Yeah, I had a question about that.
Are you
that.
Sad that that's not
I have a question
on the cover?
About that.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't go into his hog at all on this cover.
No, they don't, but they talk about it in the novel.
Yeah.
She managed to snag a fiber of rope with her fingernail. They get tied together by the children, which is fucking weird. I think I'm making progress. Thank God, he breathed. I'm not certain I can loosen it without a bit more slack. Is there any way you can press just a bit closer? A few moments, no more. All I need is a half inch. He made a strangled noise. If you must, but do it quickly. Otherwise, we're going to move a good 7 inches in the wrong direction. What?
Yeah.
Never mind. And my question is, where did he get those extra 3 inches?
Prolapsed anus.
Okay, that's weird. What you said.
I assume.
Why was that? Why is that where you went?
Well, I don't know where else it would come from. The ropes are wrapped around their like midsection.
Yeah.
Oh, you think? Okay, so it's pushing out backwards. Maybe he just
the
has
anus?
A big butt. Okay.
I think he's got a thick butt.
Yeah. Okay.
They don't ever describe his butt. They just describe his big dong.
Yeah. It's got a real wanger. He's got a real wanger, doesn't he?
He's got a big wanger. Yeah.
Can I speak to
Jamie,
something?
Do they always have big wangers?
Yeah.
He's got a huge fucking wanger. Can I speak to something about what you said about the cover, Tanner?
Please.
I want to blow both of
they
your minds.
They also do not
here.
Feature his prolapsed anus in any way on the cover.
I was hoping we wouldn't say that again. Yeah. Okay. Listen to this. Listen to this. So you said that they look like they're from the fucking 2020 on the cover. Mm-hmm. They don't seem to be in the novel because it seems like it's like they're like dukes and marquesses and shit, and like they take the wherry down the Thames and like it's not. It's like when the early 1900s or something. Probably
they literally say like at one point that it's like 18.
Okay,
17 or something.
It's something. But listen to this. Listen to this passage. Barrow, that's his fucking friend, who's irrelevant.
Brother.
Friend brother. Who
Solicitor.
Turns out to be his brother. Irrelevant.
Solicitor.
Who cares about
Solicitor,
that B
brother.
Plot? It's meaningless. Barrow
cool.
complied.
He's nice. I like him.
Mind, I am only doing this because it's 5 o'clock and I value being on time for dinner more than I value my pride. No, no, not like that. On your side, facing me. Prop yourself on one elbow and rest your head on your hand. Are you going to draw me like one of your French girls? And keep your boots off the mattress. It's new. Finest quality a shameless rake can buy. Don't worry about the context for that. Worry about the line that is from the Titanic that obviously both of these men have seen. The 1998 film. The Titanic.
Yeah, right. Well, I can explain that because paranormal romance is a really big genre. So it's time travel.
It's
They're
time
travel. Travelers.
That was my theory. Yes.
Yeah.
It's like steampunk. It's like a steampunk 90s.
It is steampunk.
And it's steampunk 90s, which is a trademark us, Tanner.
Steampunk 90s is so good. I think it already has a name. It's called Vaporwave.
Okay.
Maybe they just were on the Titanic. When did the Titanic do its thing? 1912?
Like 100 years after this is set, yeah.
Oh, so in the scenario that the Titanic movie is a entirely accurate historical recreation.
Yeah.
They would have heard Leonardo DiCaprio.
DiCaprio. Hell yeah. That's my burn of the week.
Fuck yes. Fucking nailed it. Say,
Fuck
draw
you,
me like
Leo.
One of your French girls, and that's where they got it from. Huh. That's an interesting other theory.
They were in that cargo hold or whatever.
Yeah.
While we're talking about the book, they referred. So I listened to the book.
Okay. That must have been.
I'm not a strong reader.
Very uncomfortable.
There's a lot of doing it and finger blasting in this one.
Oh, I was horny as hell. So horny. It was like a polite British lady reading it to me. And then he finger blasted her. And then she did a hand job on him. And I don't really know what the written word was.
Mm-hmm.
But the way I heard it was Michaelmas.
Michaelmas.
They kept talking about a fictional holiday called Michaelmas.
It's Michaelmas.
And I don't know what Michaelmas is.
Michaelmas.
Is this like Christmas for nickels?
Michaelmas.
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 Jack, what is it? I don't know.
Michaelmas.
UK?
And that's
you okay?
And it's, you okay?
It's like you okay,
hey,
UK?
You okay, UK? What is Michaelmas, Jack?
It's Michaelmas. It's like, I don't know what it is. It's like Pentecost.
But in this case, it just meant it was going to be at the end of the summer, right? I'm going to look it up.
Yeah.
You guys have to write a song. I just Googled. All right.
Jamie Googles.
Okay. Hang on.
Sing me.
Okay,
sing me.
Hang on.
Jamie Googles. Jamie.
Jamie's got a Google. We both
Fuck.
Got there.
Hell yeah.
Wow. Fuck
that
yes, damn
it. Serendipity.
Yeah. Michaelmas. Also known as the Feast of Saints Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, the Feast of the Archangels, or the Feast of Saint Michael and All Angels, is a Christian festival observed.
What do angels
eat? I don't know. It's just a.
Does it say?
Why would it say that?
Well, because it's about the feast of the angels. What do angels eat?
You're feasting in their honor.
Huh?
Why am I explaining this to you? I'm the Jewish one. It's just like a Christian feast holiday.
Yeah.
It's just like
Pentecost, like I said.
Google said it was
Jack,
September 29th.
Bread.
That's it?
Yeah. No, angels are like my child. They eat fucking vegetarian chick patties.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
and PBJs exclusively.
Angels are like our child. They eat half a banana and then say, all done, trucks.
tow truck. All done.
Great.
Because he just wants to go play with trucks. It's a new thing we're struggling with.
We love it.
He's eaten nothing but bananas for 2 days straight because he just wants to go play with trucks.
What a monster.
Tow truck.
This book has babies. That's why we're talking about it. There's
a lot of babysitting.
There's two babies. Yeah, it's not all horny hand jobs and finger blasting. There are two babies.
Yeah.
Daisy and Rosamund, or Sam, as she likes to be called.
Yes.
They're pirate babies. They are both pirates, and they're both babies, and one of them likes to
kill
dolls.
They're orphans who are, like, entailed on the estate. Like, they're somehow not related to anyone, but the man has to look after them, but he doesn't want to because he was a bad babysitter for his nephew.
Cousin.
Yeah.
Who was 20, and he took him out drinking, and he, like, got into a duel.
And
that's bad babysitting. And he's
that was really bad babysitting.
He did such bad babysitting that he can only do cunnilingus now.
And that's true from
the book. And I just said it from the book. That's from the book. I remember the fucking New York Times review of it.
I remember watching Iron Man 3 when it came out, and it was all about like Iron Man's trauma from the events of like the attack on New York.
And how he could only do cunnilingus.
And all he could do was cunnilingus.
That's in the special features, yeah.
Yeah.
They're two babies.
So powerful. Yeah.
Daisy and Rosamund.
Yeah. They're fun. They've got very cool Karen Brewer energy.
I'll say this. The lady who does the voices in the audio radio novel.
Yeah.
Did Rosamund's voice with like a little bit of, like, you could clearly tell that she was plugging her nose.
Oh, that's cute.
She was like,
and then how'd she do Daisy?
Just like normal little girl voice.
That's cute.
Hello, I'm Daisy.
The kids are tons of fun. They're very cool. Karen Brewer from the TVDio novel.
One's a rat.
Especially Daisy. Rosamund's a rat. Daisy's a little goth.
Yeah, Rosamund's a goth.
And let's just talk about it. Let's say it. The whole plot of the babies is that they're trying to fucking kill their dolls, aren't they? And they eventually drown the dolls. And that's from babysitting, isn't it? And that's what happens in babysitting. And it's doll theory, and we predicted it all along.
It's doll theory.
This is why I brought you this novel.
Yeah.
That's all that they do. They have a doll called Millicent, and because they were abandoned and traumatized, like every day they try to kill the doll in a different way. We're like, now Millicent has dysentery.
And it's just funerals.
And
it's
they do a few
doll
funeral
over and over.
Until eventually, because the lady is scared of water, they end up kicking the doll into the Thames and they do drown it.
Alex, yeah. And then Chase Renald jumps in after her and saves her. So it's actually not a redemption arc. It is a redemption arc. The dolls don't get drowned.
They almost get drowned.
The dolls are rescued from being drowned.
But that's a common theme in babysitting novels, and that's I just wanted to point that out. It's one of the tropes. It's one of the archetypes. I'm sure you've written about it in one of your many articles, Jamie.
Oh, absolutely.
I think we should take a quick break.
Okay.
All right.
I do need to use the facilities, so that's
and perfect. Hercules nobody is begging to get out of the office.
Okay. Well,
the dog.
Well, reconvene.
And Jack,
in
your excuse?
I don't need to air it.
Oh, okay.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay. It sounds.
Do I?
This episode's been a little too horny for Jack. He needs
a break.
Just go take care of something. Yeah.
Do I keep the recorder running while we do this?
No, hit pause. Pause.
Are we going to have to count again?
Yeah. Yeah. We always do.
All right.
What a nightmare. Okay. Everybody, it's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which, to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner. All right, we're back. Okay, how are we going to do this? Because there's a big part. Most of the book is finger blasting. We should say that.
Mm-hmm.
There is some governessing. There's some seafaring.
Mm-hmm. Governessing is British for
babysitting,
like a teacher.
For babysitting.
But it's also like a teacher.
Yes.
You do teaching.
Yeah. But there's an awful lot of finger blasting.
Yeah, I actually discovered when I... So as we mentioned, I previously read this to review it for the New York Times, and I discovered mm-hmm. in my copy of the book that I had one passage highlighted from that review when I read mm-hmm. it for that review. And can I read that to you?
I'd love that. Yeah. Keep it G-rated, please.
G-rated.
It is.
Okay.
Male member, are we discussing a Masonic society or are you referring to your penis?
Okay. I take issue with a lot of the things you said in that passage. Yeah. I guess we'll start with member.
Yeah.
Has a lot of meanings, has a lot of definitions.
Yeah.
One of the many definitions is
as being penal.
Phallus.
Yeah, that's what she clarifies. So Chase before this line has said, he's actually explaining why he only does cunnilingus. So Alex says, how can you be certain you have no offspring? Because I am excessively careful not to create any. No sponge or French letter is that effective, which is why I don't rely on them. I simply don't put myself in that position. What position? Any position that requires insertion of my, he waved Jesus. Vaguely toward his loins, okay. male member.
No.
No,
and she says,
much.
You mean your penis.
I want to introduce a segment now. And I don't really have a name for it because this is the first romance novel we've ever read. And hopefully not the last. But I think that these romance authors
mm-hmm.
can get a little horny.
Yeah, it's a little too horny.
They can get pretty horny. And we, Jack and Jamie, I don't know if this is true of you, too. I suspect mm-hmm. not because you were the former... Well, you're the romance reviewer of the New York Times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Jack and I are two...
Prudes.
Prudish gentlemen.
Yeah.
Well, we can't be horny all the time. We have a lot of work to
do. Yeah, we have lives to live. Can you imagine? Our horniness manifests in a way that would make getting around difficult.
Gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Jack is British.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just can't.
So I want to do what we can.
I want to share with our readers some of this stuff.
But I want to do it in a way that's it's not going to earn us that hard R, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't really have a name for this segment. I guess we could probably, I like the word prude. Maybe it's like two prude dudes.
Two prude dudes is pretty good.
Two prude dudes.
Two prude dudes. And what we do is we take maybe the raunchier segments of this radio novel.
Okay.
And we sanitize them for public consumption.
So the listeners can share it.
So the listeners can share it with someone they love. Okay. Yeah. And who's maybe not so horny.
I wrote a bunch of them down.
The raunchy parts.
The raunchy parts.
Yeah.
What about the one in the library?
The library one?
Yeah.
That's, wait, which one? In the home library.
I have them categorized by what they do.
Cunnilingus.
Yeah.
Whoa. Where he sticks his head under her skirt.
See, now that's way too far.
That's technical.
Whoa. We're going to have to come up with a PG phrase for that. And I'm going to say.
Okay, so you.
Let's see. The library one.
You know, Jack used to use a phrase. There was a.
Oh, I've got
a
the thing library.
That was very popular on the internet some years ago now, which was. I guess at the time it was referred to as ass eating, but.
Okay, that's what Jack so unfortunate, it, some of the things that you've said today.
Jack called it bottom cuisine.
I've forgotten about that.
I think professionally in an email one time, you were like...
It was a thing.
Like
we had to write like
a trend piece. And you were like, yeah. I guess we should do more content about bottom cuisine.
All right, I've got this library passage. They go into the library and some books fall on her and then they finger blast.
She almost dies and they do finger blast.
She almost dies and he's like, let's finger blast to make it better. And
it's finger blasting with his mouth, though, just to be specific.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I'm not an expert at this stuff.
Yeah,
so,
apparently.
We'll cue up some nice music, and then we'll try to describe this in a way that when I get... Here's what we'll do, friends, and you can help me.
Yeah.
I will read the passage. When I get to a place where I feel uncomfortable saying what is happening...
If I can feel like
fill it
something
in,
happening...
Yeah, if you feel something happening, and he's pointing at his dingus. If you
I'm
feel something happening...
You. I'm
yeah,
gonna say,
either
let's,
of you.
Let's clean that up.
We'll clean it up. Okay, yep. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay, here goes. This is the scene in the library. The books fall. She seems fine. He slid his hand down one of her stocking-clad how do you say it? Calves.
Are you having one of your British moments where you don't remember how Americans say it?
Because I would say calf.
Calf.
What would
it? Calf. Calf.
No. He slid his hand down one of her stocking-clad calves. Calves.
Calf.
Calves, calves, like the Cleveland Cavs, bent her leg at the knee and hooked it over his shoulder. Wait, hang on. What's
he's
happening
already
here?
Down on his knees. You have to go back.
So he gets on his knees and he gets under her skirt. The books drop. I'll just describe it. I don't need the book for it. Then I'll just say my part until we get to it.
Mm-hmm.
Then he went down onto his knees and he put her petticoats over his head like he was hiding in them. And he pulled down her underpants and then... Now what? Guess what? He slid his hand down one of her stocking-clad calves, bent her leg at the knee, and hooked it over his shoulder. So he's still under her dress, and he's got her leg over his shoulder.
It's fine so far. He's hiding.
That accomplished. That you're gonna need to weigh in here pretty soon. That accomplished, he reached to grasp her by the hips. That seems fine. And tilt her pelvis forward.
Great, just working on her alignment.
Something that might
anatomical.
Happen. At a Cleveland Cavs game so far. There. Now she was open to his view, to his touch, to his kiss. And kissing is fine.
Pretty
kissing
euphemistic. She was open.
That's PG.
She was open to him.
Characters kiss in Disney movies.
She's open to a kiss.
All the time.
Okay. He nuzzled the slope of her bare thigh. And I think we're going to allow this, but it's getting a little
getting
dangerous.
Risky.
Reveling in the satiny texture of her skin. Am I reading this okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you do it sexier?
I could, but I think that might defeat the purpose. That's
no,
kind of what
I feel
asking.
I feel like that's the thing, though. Is like we want to go as hard as possible on the sexiness recognize when it's making us horny.
Okay.
No, yeah. I completely disagree. You want to read this as matter-of-factly as possible to go as far as you can until the words are so sexy that they overwhelm you.
I agree with Jamie.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Okay, I'm going to get even more matter-of-fact. He nuzzled the slope of her
No, Jack, that's sexy.
Yeah.
That wasn't matter-of-fact.
That's sexy?
Yeah, it's like it's got
you're
a lot of like, smokiness to it. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to do data. I'm going to try to do data.
Do data.
He nuzzled the slope of her bare thigh.
That's good.
Reveling in the satiny texture of her skin against his cheek.
You've just been waiting to bust out your data impression, huh?
I didn't know I had one.
Satiny texture is getting a little tricky, but...
No, it's fine.
Beginning at her garter. Can we say garter?
Garter. What does that mean? Garter snake?
I think garter's bad.
No. It's just, it's what's fine. Holding up her tights. It's functional.
Snake? Is it a snake?
Okay.
No.
Beginning at her garter, he trailed kisses upward in an arrow straight path to her cleft. I'm not going to
What does cleft mean? Let's
let's not have this.
Edit.
Yep. Okay.
Edit point right there. This is my professional editor coming through. Yep. I strike that through in Google Docs. Yep. I'm in suggest mode. Mm-hmm. I'm going to change cleft to forehead.
Perfect. He trailed kisses upward in an arrow straight path to her forehead.
Forehead. That's nice.
Her thigh tensed. That's fine. It happens. You get a spasm, you know?
You got to stretch it out. Take a bath.
She squirmed in his grasp.
Well, no.
No. Okay.
You both just raised a good point. That is unclear.
Yeah.
Could be misconstrued as sexual. Let's make it clear.
Mm-hmm.
He did sports massage on her thigh to help alleviate a sports injury that she got
playing
from doing track and field.
Beginning at her garter, he trailed kisses upward in an arrow straight path to her forehead. He did sports massage.
Yeah.
She squirmed in his grasp. What are you doing? Chase decided demonstration was the most useful answer. He ran his thumb down the seam of... And now this is a very naughty word that begins with S and ends in X. The seam Sussex. Of her... What's something that has a seam? A football?
Seam of her dress.
Dress?
Yeah, that seems fine.
Right.
Parting her...
With a gentle touch. Great. It's fine. It doesn't say parting her what? Just parting her.
No.
Parting her
is very suggestive.
Parting her what? Suggestive. It doesn't say. It's totally euphemistic.
Parting her. The implication is a lot.
What is something you
part? Well, dress. No, he just ran his finger
down
the seam.
Parting her hair. Parting her hair. Parting her hair. Jamie, let's just be
He's
safe.
Combing her
let's
hair. And that, fits with the forehead
With kissing
stuff,
the
really.
Forehead. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that accomplished. She grasped her by the hips.
You skipped a sentence.
You did skip a sentence, and it's horny.
He leaned into her heat.
Okay, and that's when and that's Robert De Niro. When you feel the heat coming around the corner, you better be ready to walk away.
Sweeping his tongue along the sweet silky furrow of her
forehead. And then it's not
his
tongue.
The forehead
it's,
stuff.
It's his handkerchief.
Sweeping his tongue is bad.
A handkerchief across her
sweet silky forehead.
Brown, yeah, because she's sweating.
This is good. Then he leaned into her head. Okay, so let's go back a little bit. Chase decided his demonstration was the most useful answer. He ran his thumb down the seam of her dress, parting her hair with a gentle touch. Then he leaned into her head, sweeping his, what do we say?
Handkerchief.
Handkerchief along the sweet, silky forehead.
Yeah.
Or furrow of her brow.
Furrow of her brow, yeah.
Perfect. Her hips jerked and she kicked him in the kidney. That's in the text, and that's not sexy at all.
No, that sounds like it hurts.
Yeah. Chase! Sorry, I need to get back to data. Chase. Her hands patted around his back and shoulders, meeting atop his head. She gave him a shake. Chase, we can't do this. Not here. Certainly we can. He explored the treasure before him with... This is fine. It's a nice head. He explored the treasure before him with slow, gentle passes of his tongue, and that's handkerchief,
and that's
giving
handkerchief,
her time to adjust to the sensation. She gasped and bucked.
That's... Sounds horny. I would say she coughed sneezed.
Yeah. Does that sound good, Jamie?
Yeah, it's great.
She coughed and sneezed. This is so very wrong. With that, he returned to his task. He found the swollen... Okay. This is problematic here because it's it says a swollen... You know how we're all buds here?
Yeah.
It's like that, but not that.
Swollen buds?
Swollen bud.
Okay.
At the apex of it. And it's, what do we say for cleft?
Dress.
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 Oh, so it's just like a little piece of embroidery on her dress, like a little rosette.
Button.
Yeah.
He found the swollen button at the apex of her dress. And
swollen's tough there, too, though. Like, maybe it's not a button. Maybe it's a thread.
Or like just a shiny button. A shiny button.
Like a...
Shiny is nice.
Shiny loose, button. Yeah, I like that.
He found the shiny button at the apex of her dress.
I gotta say, shiny button is already... Yeah. It still feels a little charged.
Yeah. Unremarkable.
Unremarkable button.
Button. Yeah. He found the unremarkable button at the apex of her dress and fluttered his tongue. It's like a snake. That's a little sexy.
What if he just sneezes again?
And sneezed again.
Sneezes again, yeah.
Her breath escaped in an erotic sigh. And what can we do with erotic there?
Perfunctory?
Yeah. Her breath escaped in a perfunctory sigh. That's it. Surrender to the pleasure. Surrender to me.
Oh, this next one
pleasure's,
is dead.
Pleasure's tough.
That sounds like the Borg.
Surrender to the Borg.
Perfect. To the Borg.
Surrender to me.
Yep. He slid his hands to her bottom, and we can't have that.
No. Absolutely not. Slid his hands to first base.
Well.
And first base by kissing, first base, right? We mean strictly in the baseball sense of the term.
Okay, yeah.
He's now playing baseball.
He was now playing baseball. He slid his hands to first base, clasping tight onto the bat with both hands and drawing it closer for a bunt.
Yep.
The better to kiss, lick, suck, and nibble.
What? Okay, so kiss,
lick,
suck, lick, and nibble.
That's too many of the things. A kiss I'll allow is fine.
Pop fly.
Because we're not fucking Puritans here.
Pop fly, pop RBI. Fly.
Yeah.
Base hit and home run.
Perfect.
But just in the baseball sense of the words.
Yes.
Because he won't do home runs because he doesn't want to sire bastards.
Oh, he does a home run. Oh, believe me, he does a home run.
Using her reactions as his guide, he learned the ways to make her sigh. That's fine.
Fine.
Moan, that's not okay.
I would say cheer.
Okay,
cheer. Just keep moving the baseball theme.
Whimper.
Whistle.
Mm-hmm. And dig her fingernails into his scalp. That seems fine.
Yeah. That's fine.
In baseball context.
In baseball context, that makes total sense.
Chase. Come, he silently willed. Come for me.
Come home. It's like in the ump. Or the third base coach. It's like, go,
okay,
go, go.
Okay, that's perfect.
Home,
go.
Home.
Yeah. And let's just say go, I think.
Yeah, go home. Go home. Yeah.
Go, said
that's
the
great. That's he's like third a
third base coach.
Yep.
Go home. A few more flickering pulses of his tongue. I don't want this at all. And then it says she went over the edge.
Flickering pulses of the tongue could probably be changed to encouraging words of...
From the third base coach.
The third base coach, yeah.
And he rounded third base.
Yep.
She came with a series of... I don't even want to say this out loud to you. It says shuddering whimpers.
Whimpers?
It says shuddering whimpers.
Whimp. You're saying whimpers in a weird way.
Yeah.
I thought you made up a word. Whimpers.
No. Whimpers.
Whimpers.
Shuddering
Jimmy, any
whimpers.
Advice on this one? I'm at a loss.
Yeah. It's it's getting me a little hot
you're,
under the
you
collar
seem,
to think about.
Yeah. You're absolutely positively to mess it.
She came with a series of shuddering whimpers, bracing herself.
And, okay,
on
now
his
you
head.
Just said it again, Jamie.
Do not say it
what
again.
You did was said it again.
Yeah.
But,
which is what we were trying to avoid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Bracing herself on his head and shoulders is fine. That's a shampoo.
Yeah, that's a shampoo.
Okay. So she shampooed his hair with a series of scrubbing fingers.
Perfect. Bracing
that's
herself
perfect.
On his head and
shoulders.
And that's branded and that's
head
sponsored.
And shoulders, yeah. And,
yeah.
And
okay.
So the baseball stuff has ended, and now they're doing shampoos?
The baseball stuff is over. Now they're back to combing each other's hair.
Well, they're very sweaty from the game. There's a lot of dirt
yes,
on the baseball
of course.
Field.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense to me.
We've got two more sentences. Yeah, there's a lot of jump cuts in this movie.
Yeah, read your novel.
He didn't let up until her pleasure eased.
Okay.
That's fine.
She was enjoying baseball, and then it was over. Yeah,
that's celebration. Yeah,
yeah. A lot of people who are not sports fans, it's common for the third base coach to wash the hair of the guy who did the home run after the game.
It's
it's just polite.
It's polite. It's tradition. I think it comes from the Bible. Jesus washing the feet of the
yes
the beggars.
Do you want me to just finish reading it? He pressed his mouth to her inner thigh, sucking and biting until a bruise rose on her tender flesh.
That actually all seems not, fine.
Okay. You think the third base coach? Oh, because he's got a bruise.
That's tradition. Yeah. You want to suck the venom out. So the thing about bruises is...
Yeah.
I'm not a doctor.
No. And we should say that at the top of the episode.
Yeah, I'm not a doctor, but I think the thing about bruises is that's toxins.
Yeah.
And you want to get rid of that stuff. So as soon as you see a bruise on someone who you feel comfortable doing this with, you do want to suck that out.
Maybe that's why she was whimpering, because she had toxins.
Whimpering.
That's where she got beaten by a ball earlier in the inning.
Yeah.
So the third base coach did suck the toxins out of her ball bean bruise.
And she whimpered.
Yeah. That hurts. You ever been beaten by a ball? That hurts like hell.
It hurts like hell. That was lovely, and I think we were able to share that with our viewers in a way that is not too scandalous. Can I briefly, before we do our burns of the week, can I briefly read this passage that is Tessa Dare, who I haven't said this enough. She's a very funny and good writer. She reminds me of Henry Fielding.
Wow, that's a huge compliment.
She's got like Henry Fielding vibes. The jokes per minute is very high.
Yeah, JPMs.
Yeah, zingy.
And it's tons of fun. But she does, sometimes when she writes male characters.
I'm certain she would be super thrilled to be compared to a dude from the, 18th century?
18th century. Yeah. The fucking, one of the greatest British novelists of all time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when she writes, man, it felt alien to me, and I would like to read this passage.
Yeah.
This is when, for some reason, Chase has a fight with another Duke for no apparent
reason. Jamie explained this to me.
Okay.
So this is a thing. This is a romance trope that, Jack, I think you need to learn about.
Okay.
Lord Ashbury.
Yeah.
Jamie, take it away.
Oh, okay. So it's two things. So this book is the second book in a series, and I actually haven't read the first book, but I would guess that Ash...
It's called the Duke Nukem series.
Yeah, Duke Nukem.
That Ash is the hero from the first book in the series, because he is newly married to Alex's friend. They have a new baby. And you can see in their relationship, and in like the little bit that we learn about Ash... Also, his name is Ash, like Ash and Chase, you know.
Well, his name is Lord Ashburn.
Right, but he goes by Ash. It's very romance hero-y. So he is badly scarred from war. And so I am guessing that
the Battle of Waterloo.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
That his whole thing was that he was scarred and thought that he was a monster and no one could love him. And then he met her.
And then somebody finger blasted him.
Yeah, exactly. The same way that Chase thinks that he's a monster and nobody could love him because he did the bad babysitting.
Until he got finger blasted.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
So, okay, that's interesting. Because I looked, the next one in the Duke Nukem series
is it the vegan friend?
They have a this is the other reason that this clearly takes place in the Titanic era, is there's like a friend who makes like faux tuna sandwiches.
Yeah, I have a segment to introduce that. It's called
"You Don't Understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender.
I could have played this fucking role." And it's Jack, and he could have played the role of Penny, the vegan who does fake tuna and
tuna-ish.
She makes like fake tuna and fake ham sandwiches because she cares about the animals. That is not actually the case in the fucking like Regency.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's how Tessa Dare writes men. They're wrestling. Ashbury tackled him from behind, wrestling him down to the carpet and clapping a hand over Chase's mouth. "Shut up, you blackguard," he snarled quietly. "Yeah. Not another word, or a set of shredded ballocks will be the least of your problems." Good Lord, could there be anything worse than shredded ballocks? His stones retracted into his abdomen at the very mention. Chase could imagine only one sort of pain that could possibly eclipse that prospect. And then it's the pain of, I think,
pain of
true
losing.
Love.
Losing Alex.
But that's not
Mountain Bottom.
That's not a thing.
You say ballocks?
That's what they say. That's what she says.
No,
she says ballocks.
You're overcompensating your Britishes.
No.
Sorry, how would you say that in England?
I would say bollocks if it had an O at the beginning of it, but the way Tessa writes it is with an A.
Bollocks.
Bollocks.
Ballocks.
Bollocks, Jack. Bollocks. No one's saying bollocks. No one's saying ballocks. What? They're balls.
Bollocks.
When they're bollocks, they're spelt with an O. Look it up.
How do you spell ball?
As in testicle.
Don't test me. I know this shit.
B-A-L-L.
How do you spell ball? Okay,
B-A-L-L
tell me.
Is how he B-A-L-L. Spells it, Jimmy. What a fucking clown this guy
Get
is.
Get out of here.
I have a...
Segment?
Segment.
Okay.
And it's called Burn of the Week.
Don't wake the child.
Jamie,
don't wake
did you hear
child.
That?
You?
I heard it in me, Jamie's screaming. Computer.
Yeah,
did
I heard
Miles
you, Tanner.
Hear it? That's the real question.
Yeah. No, he's seeping.
Okay.
I realize it's tricky.
There's a lot of burns in this book. Tess, we haven't focused on it enough, but Tessa Dare is a very funny writer.
She's very funny. She's witty. She's got biting humor.
Yeah. Do you want me to say a burn?
I do. I'm challenged because I captured a burn, but I captured it in the audiobook. And I wrote was, burn.
So you have to go back and listen to it?
I think I have to go back and listen to it. So
I'm
Does
gonna it tell it you what percentage you're at? I can find it in my...
No, it's literally the moment it happens. I just have to, like, ignore you guys for a second and go listen
cool.
to it.
Cool.
So, 1 second.
Are we going to hear it?
I think so, because I don't have headphones down here.
I do want to hear what the British lady sounds like.
1 second.
I'm trying to choose my burn.
They're
I captured two.
They're not discreet.
Bollocks, Steve, and a woman's tight, wet cunny.
Jesus.
We just went to all that effort, Tanner, to fucking sanitize this episode for our listeners. And you played that.
Stop.
That was that was madness. The one part in the book that I felt uncomfortable.
That's the weirdest part. It's so childish. But it's also funny that that's where Tanner just left it queued up. Is that your burn, Tanner?
I don't think so. I'm gonna do a search for governess game. Tight, wet, cunny.
Why?
Please stop saying that.
Stop saying it. It's so gross.
I all I know is I made a note here called. Burn of
I remember
week.
That scene vividly where she says those three words, which I will not
I need
repeat.
Someone with the radio novel version of
Jamie's
the book.
Jamie's got it. Tanner, Jamie and I both take extensive notes.
Can you read the preceding maybe 30 seconds to that, Jamie?
The preceding 30 seconds to that are the part that I read where he's talking about male member. Are we discussing a Masonic society or are you referring to the penis?
The note I captured here is burn. This dude doesn't fuck? Question mark, exclamation point.
Yeah, that's what we talked about. You said it's a burn on him because he doesn't go bollocks deep in a woman's type.
This guy doesn't fuck?
He doesn't fuck. It was such a surprise because I was like, okay, I get it. This woman is I haven't read a lot of romance, but it feels like it's a trope. Alexandra Mountbatten, and it's Mountbatten, and
Mountbatten, more like Alexandra Round Bottom.
Okay.
Am I right? Because he describes her bottom as quite round.
He does describe her bottom as round.
Yeah.
She's shy. She's clumsy. She's
Jamie,
reserved.
You
want to
weigh
she's
in
also...
on that?
On her bottom?
Alexandra Round Bottom.
No, I have nothing to say.
Okay.
I got something to say about it.
Yep.
Can I say it?
Yeah.
Can I speak on this?
Yep.
So she's leaning over looking into a telescope.
Mm-hmm.
So there it was presented for his view. The most delightful peach of a backside, more generously rounded than he would have guessed, given her slender figure. At his sides, his hands instinctively cupped, estimating size and plumpness. You know what that reminds me of?
What?
The French philosopher Merleau-Ponty.
Yeah, me too.
So Merleau-Ponty did for the body what Heidegger did for the mind.
What?
His phenomenology of the body is probably too complex.
Sorry, what was
complex.
His name again?
Merleau-Ponty.
Ponty. Is Ponty anti-Semite as well, or?
I hope not.
Yeah.
But his thing is that, the most evocative part of Merleau-Ponty is this idea that, he describes it in terms of, when you're, reaching for a doorknob, your hand shapes into the shape of the doorknob.
Oh, this is Kirk Cameron shit.
And so Chase's hand... is the shape of a butt.
It's not theory of evolution stuff. It's about how our body interacts with the world,
and it's
right?
How like, our why hands does... are shaped like bananas, yeah.
And butts.
It's not like that.
This is what Kirk Cameron says.
It's phenomenology of the body.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what Kirk Cameron argues, too.
On the basis of past experience, I have learned that doorknobs are to be turned, says Merleau-Ponty. But there, what
and
Tessa's
bananas
doing,
are to be gripped and peeled, buddy.
Tessa's doing it with a butt.
You know who else can do it with a butt?
Okay, that's enough. Forget it. Let's say you're Burns.
Okay.
You're both. I've never
Jamie,
seen.
Jamie, you've got one more burn.
So many
you.
Green rings bored to tears in one fucking Zoom session.
I know.
Gosh, and how
and
could
sometimes
that have happened?
Sometimes you have to look
to wake up
yourself.
Miles and see if he wants to hear it.
He's so bored. He felt he's asleep.
Yeah. Jamie, you got a burn?
Yeah. This is at the first doll funeral.
Okay.
And Daisy has bowed her head. She has led everyone in a recitation of the Lord's Prayer. And then she asks Chase to say a few words. And he says,
we all hold hands here.
Everyone holds hands.
Yeah, we're all virtually holding hands. Dan, do you see how your hand like went into the shape of it, holding a hand?
Yeah,
that's
my,
from
my
fucking
hand into the shape, of that.
Shape of the banana.
Merleau-Ponty, Phenomenology of the Fucking Body, or whatever right. His book is called.
Almighty Father, we commit to your keeping the soul of Millicent, ashes to ashes, sawdust to sawdust. She was a doll of few words and yet fewer autonomous movements. Yet she will be remembered for the ever-present, some might say permanently painted, smile on her face. By the grace of our Redeemer, we know she will be resurrected perhaps as soon as luncheon, unfortunately. And that's a burn on Millicent because she's a fucking doll.
She's a doll and she dies every day.
And she dies every
sometimes
fucking day.
Twice a day.
Yeah. Sometimes twice
that's
a day.
That's interesting.
As Tessa says. I have one more burn, Jack.
Okay, I would love
did
to
Jack,
say one of mine.
Did Jack read a burn?
I'd fucking be yeah. thrilled to be able to say one of mine.
How about Jack? No, he didn't. No,
yeah,
he
did.
Read.
No, I didn't.
He read that boring philosophy stuff.
Oh, I thought that was his burn.
It's
it was a burn
boring.
On himself.
It's not a burn.
God, I got so bored, I didn't even
I know.
Follow. Jack, you got a burn?
He did for the body what Heidegger
oh
did for the
God.
Mind.
Oh, my God.
It's interesting. It's phenomenology of the body. Forget
yeah,
it.
Kirk Cameron. He's Kirk Cameron of the...
It's not Kirk Cameron. It's nothing to do with anything. Listen, this is when they're in the Tower of London. They're about to finger blast each other. But before they do, they're talking about like how people got hanged and murdered in the Tower of London.
Makes them even hornier. Fucking
it makes everybody hornier. And prior to going to the Tower of London, they kind of had a like flirt fight. They do a lot of flirt fighting in this.
Yeah,
they had a flirt fight over the fact that Alex is trying to governess the kids. And again, babysitting, folks. That's why we're here.
Yep.
It's not all cunnilingus in this podcast.
It's often cunnilingus. It's not always cunnilingus.
While babysitting the kids, she figured out that like the best way to teach them was instead of like boring sums and shit, she would like pretend they're on a pirate ship, just like
yeah,
she
yeah,
was
yeah.
when she was a kid.
Because she was a pirate.
I think that's all the context you need for this burn. Beheading, Daisy said, awed. Right out there in the yard. That's if you were a noble birth. The rest were hung by their necks and their heads went on pikes by the river as a warning. All the blood dripping down. Eyes pecked out by ravens. Hands behind her back, Alex ambled over to stand by her employer. Surely there are less gruesome ways of teaching history, Mr. Reynaud. Surely there are less irritating ways of teaching Reynaud. Geography than piracy.
Yeah.
And thanks for saying you're the repronouncing. The
very funny
in the
burn,
middle of the end of
Jack.
Yeah, thank you.
Hell of a burn. Yes. I'm sorry I stepped on it, but you did pronounce his name wrong. It's Reynaud.
Okay, can I quickly do an innuendo of the week, please, before we go?
Oh, I would love an innuendo of a week, Jack.
Okay, I have a couple. Can I do two?
Please,
can
we just make this a recurring segment, innuendo
yeah.
of the week?
Can I do two innuendos of the week and then we can go?
In your endo.
And I'll explain them if I have to. So he has a place that he calls the Cave of Carnality, and it's for sex. And let's just say it, this book's got sex in it.
Yeah.
And one of the things I've been trying to avoid it, but it's hard to get around. Much like Mr. Fucking Reynaud's
what?
Dingus, am I right?
Oh, because it's so big.
Yeah,
yeah.
Anything. So they're like renaming it.
Hard to get your vagina reason. Around.
This is when they're doing a flirt fight again, and yeah. he has antlers in it. That's all you need to know for this innuendo of the week.
He's got a sex den. Oh,
it's a sex
I guess
den.
It's
yeah. oh,
what?
It's a segment.
Oh. Is it Alan Gray? Okay, let's try it together. Jamie, yeah. Jamie, you go second. I'll go first. Yeah. And then Tanner, you go third. We just got to try to keep this order.
I'll be in there somehow.
Just do your best, and we're going to
work through
this.
Jamie. It's improv. Okay. It's jazz.
Hey, what the fuck's in that weird room?
Oh, you mean my antlers and stuff?
Tanner?
And my Xbox.
We've got a helicopter here if you don't like it.
If you're uncomfortable at any time, you can take the helicopter and go.
I don't think helicopters have been invented yet.
I've got a Murphy bed. I invented it.
And scene.
And now we're going to do sex in my weird room.
It's called Alan Gray Will See You Now.
Mr. Gray Will See You Now.
And Chase Rana has a Xbox room. He's got a room where he keeps his Xbox and stuff.
Yeah, he keeps his Xbox and stuff, and he calls it the Cave of Carnality, but they try to rename it, and that's what's happening here. And he has antlers in it. Anything's an improvement over the virility vault, Alex smiled. She'd missed this back and forth with him. There's a lot of back and forth with them, honestly.
Yeah. What they do is they spit in one another's mouths back and forth. It's sexy. It's sexy, you guys.
It's not.
They just spit in one another's mouths back and forth. It's sexy.
She looked at the fireplace mantle. I don't suppose you might take down the antlers. What do you have against antlers, anyway? I just think they could be replaced with something more welcoming. A nice landscape, perhaps. She gave him a teasing look. Or maybe a sampler and needlepoint. The place could use a woman's touch. And then he says, I don't know if I can say this.
It's not the only thing. Use a woman's touch.
Okay. That is what he says, and he's referring to his beepus.
He's referring to his beepus. Yep.
Okay, I do have one more.
I have one more, too, and you promised me that I could do mine next.
Okay, you do yours, and then I'll do mine.
But mine's a whole new segment.
Okay, well, let me do mine, and then we'll do yours.
But yours was,
yours.
Too. Yours was, I'll agree, we'll see you now.
Mine was one innuendo of the week.
No, you go next.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Now, Chase shifted forward in his chair. Be honest, Miss Mountbatten.
Hide your boner when you're, like, 14 in class.
Yeah.
You shift forward in your chair.
Put it in the waistband.
Like,
everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Mr. Raynaud has not subjected me to any unwanted attentions, nor taken advantage of me in any way. They're like talking to someone who's like, are you fucking the governess?
It's his brother.
Ash looks... It's Ash. It's the Duke.
Oh, the Scarf
Ash Duke. Looks suspicious, but he didn't belabor the question. Regardless, his sexual escapades are merely the tip of the iceberg. Oh, I haven't even acquainted her with the tip, Chase said.
Hell
merely.
Yeah.
Fuck not yeah, properly. But... fuck yeah, and it's because he doesn't fuck.
He doesn't fuck. He only does cunnilingus.
Okay, what's your segment? Quick. Jamie's got to go to bed.
Well, I always get up with the baby the morning after Tanner records a podcast, but we didn't account for me tonight. Also recording a podcast.
It's a burn.
Yeah.
But it's also another segment, and I'll leave you two to figure out what segment it is as I'm reading it.
Quick.
I don't care if you're gently bred, roughly bred.
Bread brethren.
Or a loaf of brown bread.
That's bread day.
With that's butter. Bread day. You're educated, you understand propriety, and you're breathing.
And they put bread in this, and they
put
dolls
in bread.
It.
And it's bread. Not just the Babysitter's Club books that are all bread. It's everything. Everything is all
and
bread.
And it's all the way down.
And it's the whole universe, and we're all just bread, and we're all swimming in a universe of bread.
Can I read you another passage? This one sentence. His Please. Brain buzzed like a hive of wasps.
And that's bees.
His brain is bees.
And it's bread and it's bees. And everything is bread and bees.
Everything is bread and bees. Jamie, do you care to disagree? Did you put it in your New York Times review? I hope
yeah.
so.
Yeah. Fucking challenge
I
us.
I didn't read that paragraph, but it said how it's all bread and
bees. You reviewed the book and you didn't even read the fucking book. Wow.
No, I wrote in my review that it was all bees and bread, but I didn't get
this. This is Gamergate shit.
You misunderstood what I said.
Yeah, this is Gamergate shit.
You misunderstood what I said.
How is it Gamergate shit? Because it's
didn't even read the book.
Because he didn't understand what I said.
Reviewed the book, didn't even read the book.
What I said was I didn't read the paragraph of the review.
This is Gamergate shit.
This is ethics and romance journalism.
You guys would be surprised.
Yeah.
It probably is a thing.
Yeah. Hell of a book. I really loved reading this romance novel.
I pray
and hope that I get the opportunity to read romance novels again in the near future. Maybe we can formalize it in some way. Jack, thank you for joining me tonight. Jamie, my wife. My wife, thank you for joining me tonight. It was a pleasure to speak with both of you. I'm going to bow out now.
Why?
We're all going to go. I'm going to ask people to quickly subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/BSCC podcast. Please also join the Baby Nation Facebook group. I wrote a whole name generator for what your romance novel is, and we don't have time for it. I'll put it in the Baby Nation.
Mine is Sexy McFuckerton.
So that's a reason to go join the Baby Nation Facebook group. It's on Facebook. Fucking find it. Rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts. And please do buy our merch at bit.ly/BSCC merch. All that remains is for me to say that this week we read a babysitting novel, as we always do and always have. It was called The Governess Game. It was by Tessa
Dare.
Next week, we forgot to say what we're doing next week. We'll try to put it in the group. Another reason to join the group.
Jamie
wakes
decided.
Up with Miles. We haven't decided.
Yeah.
And
it's gonna be the Gunslinger.
I don't have time to read maybe. Maybe it'll be the Gunslinger. That is a babysitting book. Someone pointed out that the Dark Tower is a babysitting book. So maybe we'll read the Gunslinger. That's good. I like it. That's
Gunslinger. We're gonna do the Gunslinger.
Go, Jake. There are other worlds than these.
Yep.
And all that remains is for me to say that this week I have been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greening.
I'm Jamie Green Ring.
No.
Wow.
Live your truth, Jamie Green.
I guess you didn't miss the last name, Jamie. Please do remember to round off the corners of your bedroom, drown all your dolls, call your senator, and demand your right to bear time. Do not forget to let daddy love you as much as I do. Remember the Delaney's, remember the Trip Man, and take your dream horse through that maze. This is the way. Berries to blood. There is no God, and we are his prophets. I may be a shitty boyfriend, but I'm a damn good babysitter.
Oh, we need one for this one.
Park the porpoise.
Sawdust to sawdust.
Does she say that in this?
It's what he says to. He says that in at a doll funeral.
It's very dark.
I know.
Sawdust to sawdust. Claudia is wearing a bra now, and the way she talks, you would think that boys had just been invented. I've hit play. All everything is recording again.
Okay.
Me too.
Yeah.
One.
Two.
Three.
Four.
Four. No.
Six.
Seven.
Five.
No. Tanner.
One.
One. Two.
Three.
Three.
Tanner.
Tanner,
come
stop
on,
it.
I want to go to bed.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.